Coming to you from weird and wonderful Louisville, Kentucky, it's time to talk all things beer on the Fall City News and Brews podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the third installment of the Fall City News and Brews podcast. I am your host, Brian Ucelis, the marketing manager here at Fall City Beer, and today, joined once again by Drew Johnson, our GM. Say hello to the folks.
Hello, folks.
Very good.
Very well, folks.
Yeah, very well. Also joined today by Travis Dettenberg, our territory manager.
Hello, folks.
Very good.
Slim pickings for the third seat.
Yeah. No, but Travis will be joining us from time to time. Shane's out today. But first, we'll get started with what we're drinking. What are you guys drinking over there?
I'm drinking a delicious Calliope Hoppy Pilsner.
Our summer seasonal.
Yeah, perfect for this.
It's 97 degrees today.
97 degrees.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al Gore, for inventing global warming.
Yes, I'm drinking the same thing, but we are actually getting ready to open up a bottle of our Subtle Beast, too, so which is also a great porch pounder for a 97-degree day.
Our Imperial Stout, which comes in 22-ounce bombers, we have one of those waiting as soon as we finish these beers that we have.
If you're lucky enough to find yourself a bottle out in the market, please grab one because it ages nicely.
There's still a few out there, and I'm actually drinking our Barn Burner Double IPA, which we did with a collaboration with Liquor Barn.
Yeah, that was just a super sexy IPA.
Yeah, just delicious stuff. So those are the beers we're drinking. I'm going to pop that Subtle Beast here in a second. And then, yeah, real quick, before we get into today's topic, which is gateway beers, we're going to run through some events that we have coming up the last week here in July. So we have, first and foremost, is our fourth installment of our neighborhood series celebrating iconic neighborhoods and watering holes here in Louisville. We're going to be in Germantown at the Knock Bar on the 27th of July, debuting Dainty Smack Goza. Name's paying a little bit of homage to the Dainty Festival, which last Monday in July, right there in Germantown. This Goza's really good.
I've never been to that. I'm curious. I've seen pictures and people posting videos. It seems like it's
I went once. It's wild.
Yeah, it seems like it's something different.
It's hot.
Don't you have to be over 40 to participate?
To participate, I think you do have to be over 40, but to watch, you just have to be a person.
Just have to be there.
We'll be there Thursday at 6 at the Knock Bar in Germantown, debuting that Dainty Smack Goza, as well as we'll have our Watermelon Goza side with the seeds, our Cabernet IPA, which is a collab with Old 502 Winery. So it starts at 6 o'clock. We're actually giving away tickets there to another event next week, the Burnt Knob Music Festival, which is next weekend at Iroquois Amphitheater. Tons of local bands, local food, obviously an awesome local venue. And then we're brewing the Iroquois IPA for that. So excited about that as well. And then finally we have, I don't think they're actually called Booze Cruises, but it's the Belle of Louisville event with all the other craft beers in town on Saturday night. I think that's the 29th. So lots of stuff going on next week. Be sure to check those out. Now let's dive into today's topic, which is gateway beers. Basically, what I want to talk about today is those beers that first got you hooked on craft beer or different styles. When I say gateway beers, what kind of pops into your all's heads?
I've always been a big fan of like traditional German style beers, so those were kind of the, you know,
any one in particular, or just
kind of all over. Really what got me into it was the first time I ever visited the Hofbrauhaus in Newport, Kentucky, the Dunkel that they have there.
Yeah. Drew, what about you?
Well, first of all, Travis, how old were you when you had your first like good beer? I'm not talking about like sneaking Budweiser or something. You're not drinking. Because for me, I was drinking Bud Ice like after school. So my buddy had a fake ID before we could even drive. But
for the record, we just require everybody out there to drink responsibly.
Right, drink responsibly. But
it happens, we know.
Yeah.
You know, this is like mid-college when I started getting into that.
So. Okay. Right.
And it'd be like whoever had a good beer, because I never
sure.
did.
Yeah, I couldn't afford that stuff.
Yeah, it was the Bowling Pens Bud Light.
The Budweiser
Bud Light Bowling Pens from Vet City Liquors down in beautiful Bowling Green, Kentucky. I think a 15-pack of them, $12.99. So that was when I had money.
Yeah.
Then I was drinking other times.
Big
Keystone
spending.
Keystone Light, yeah.
What about you, Drew?
Well, so when I wasn't drinking Bud Ice after my days in high school, it was, to be honest, like it being at some of these kind of like hippie festivals, concerts back in high school.
you know,
fish shows, man.
Like Drew went to see Fish this week, and we've just been giving him nonstop crap about just Fish as a band.
Yeah, it's and rightfully so. Everybody has their own music genre, to each their own. But no, I mean, it's hippies love good beer. And, you know, being at some of these campouts and everything, like, there was always people kind of hanging around. For me, what I had as a gateway beer were, like, the English beer. So Newcastle, Sam Smith, the Taddy Porter, the Nut Brown.
Yeah.
Those were the beers that really kind of, like, opened me up and say, hey, there's more flavor in beers than there are now. Then when I got to college, I started decorating my dorm room wall with six-pack carriers. So
nothing draws the ladies in like that, huh?
I know. It's like I was really trying to – it was that and Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to really kind of expand what I was drinking, trying to see. It was like, hey, before we go to the liquor store, I was like, look at my wall. I was like, okay, I've had this, and this. And, you know, ambers were, you know, a big gateway beer for me. You know, it was something you could, you know, draw close correlation to from Newcastle and Sam Smith, Nut Brown, and Taddy Porter and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while to really kind of get into the whole hop craze that is obviously sweeping the nation at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's what's funny is, you know, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, so I just like to remind you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So the craft beer game was a little bit different for me, you know, 5 years behind you guys. But yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone's first beer is some domestic beer that grandpa or dad. I think actually my brother was in college and he was home. And I think it was like UK had beat U of L in football, and I was just like devastated. My brother like sat me down and was like, you need a beer. And he was right, but it was like a Coors Light. So moving on from that, though, I think that what you had available was a lot of ambers, a lot of low malt kind of amber and color
something
beers.
Like it's a flavor profile that is not offensive to anybody. It just has a little bit more.
It doesn't look like a Guinness either. You know, I think it's that's like, a big thing, too, is the visual.
You're right. People think they're like, oh, Guinness, that's so dark and heavy. When in reality, that it absolutely is a dark beer, but it is very
light.
Yeah, it's very light in body. So it's something that, you know, people just associate anything dark beer. Like, well, I don't like Guinness. Well, okay.
Some people just psych themselves out.
Right, that doesn't mean you don't like any other dark beer. And I remember, like, the first dark beer that I had outside of Guinness was actually, like, the BBC Dark Star Porter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was such a great beer. And I was never, like, a big coffee drinker through college, which I don't know how I managed to get through college without, you know, at least the first couple years without coffee. But
it was all the beer.
It was all the beer and just
other
no sleep.
Things.
Right. Hey, keep your, whatever. But yeah, the Dark Star Porter is that was kind of like the first thing that really kind of opened up my mind to really like dark beer, real flavorful, you know, heavy, you know, kind of sits on the palate a little bit more. That was a great beer.
It's funny because we kind of came up with this topic and we were talking about it a little bit before, but for me, you know, my gateway beers are completely different than like gateway beers now because there's so much beer now and almost like I feel like you have to have gateways to each style. You know, we talked a little bit like Newcastle. You know, 10 years ago was a great gateway beer.
It was like the big like craft beer that people are drinking. Like, it was
import.
Like the top. Yeah, it was the top selling import. And now, I mean, it still does well, but it is nothing like it was before. And it's still not a bad beer, but it's not
people
great. It's got that white, you know, the glass, so it gets the white struck and just the skunkifying method. But
Amberbach, people thought that was like a good beer when I was in college.
Yeah. Amberbach and Killian's.
Yep, it was just something a little bit different than.
And that's what's changed, you know. I mean, there's so much beer out there now that gateway beers are different. But I do think that there's still people out there who are a little intimidated by the craft beer game.
And rightfully so. I mean, if you walk into a store, and especially with as many, you know, kind of beer snobs and beer nerds, it's become. Certain aspects of this industry has become very judgmental on what you drink.
For sure. So when you go to a place and you try to order something, it is intimidating. It is, especially
like,
if you don't know.
Yeah, because
you don't look like a nerd.
Exactly. You don't want to feel that you're, you know, looking
you don't know.
Bad. Right, exactly.
Yeah. But, like, I jotted down.
Which is not
like,
the way that this should be.
No. Like, and that's my whole thing is we talked last episode about Bell's Two Hearted quite a bit. And that is such a good beer, and there is a knock on it now that it's like, oh, it's cheap and it's available everywhere, and it's like, isn't that good?
Yeah,
like,
that's a good thing. You can get it every day, and it is in a great price point. Why is that a bad thing? Because you can't get it because you don't have to wait in a line for it?
That was the craft beer. I wasn't around last week, but that was the craft beer that made me like craft beer.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever tasted anything with hops like that, and I immediately loved it.
That was my next question, is what was your first kind of excursion into hoppy beers? And obviously for Travis, it was Two Hearted. For me, it's Sierra Nevada. You know, Sierra Nevada Pale is...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sierra Nevada Pale. And it's still a great beer. Did you know that...
Oh, my God. Fun fact.
Did you know that the draft and the package are two different ABVs?
Huh.
What?
Yes.
Clearly I did not.
Yes.
What are the ABVs on each of them? Which one's higher?
Package. So,
why?
Because, here, follow me for a second.
I'm just going to keep interrupting with questions.
I know, right? So the package is...
But why?
Package is, I think, 5.5% or 5.6% alcohol.
Okay.
The draft is straight 5%. So the mentality that I think the Sierra Nevada has is that if you're ordering it at a bar or a restaurant, you're more inclined to order more than one if it has a lower ABV. And I think they try and make it a little bit more sessionable if you're drinking it at a bar or a restaurant, that it's...
Unless you drink a bottle of it at a bar, in which case that theory is right out the window.
Well, but I mean, majority of bars that you walk into, at least a lot of the... Yeah, I mean, it's on draft. I mean, you can walk into any corporate chain account America restaurant, and you're either going to be able to find a Sam Adams Boston Lager,
yeah,
and Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, or a Falls City Pale Ale.
Yeah, I think Boston Lager for sure is a... Yeah, we're going to talk about Pale Ale in a second. We're going to tie this all into Falls City.
I mean,
that's what we're doing here.
It is alarming. Like, I had no idea that they have the same beer, but it's brewed two different ways with two different ABVs.
I think Sam Adams was...
The more you know.
Was a beer also that they always brewed something different. So it was one that... And I knew that I liked Sam Adams beer. So
yeah.
You know, that was the first time I probably had like seasonal type stuff.
Sure.
You know. Their winter would have like ginger or something
yeah,
in it, and their spring.
What'd you say about gingers?
Yeah,
don't. they're great people.
Yeah, Drew's red hair is getting a little bit offended right now.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that you have all these brands like a Sam Adams and like Goose Island Honkers Ale was a big gateway beer for me.
One, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that even like their IPA because it's an English style IPA,
yeah.
Which is a little bit. It's not as kind of bitter and citrusy and piney as a lot of the American IPAs. It has much more of the kind of like the earthy character. I mean, when that beer was out years and years ago before the AB acquisition, you could find six packs of that for $6.99,
yeah.
Even $5.99 on
well,
sale. I would crush the hell out of that
yeah.
beer.
And it's still like, and that goes back to the whole when Budweiser takes over brands and what's going on there. But like, that's what's funny now is I think when we were all coming of age and cutting our teeth on craft beer, you had the Sam Adams and the Goose Islands, and you thought, okay, this is craft, this is local. And now it's different, and those brands, you know, while Sam Adams is still independently owned, you still have that kind of, oh, I'm yeah. drinking a Sam Adams, you know? And it's a bummer because those are the beers that kind of paved the way.
Yeah, they're great.
They're struggling. I mean, those are the brands that are unfortunately struggling out there because they, you know, they have the perception that they're a big brand. And I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, they are. I mean, they are a big brand, but that does not take away from the fact that they're still independently owned.
Sure. Their Oktoberfest is still... Absolutely
yeah, their
amazing.
Oktoberfest is great. Yeah.
All their beers are good. I mean, yeah. it's good.
Nothing to like write home about, but I mean, you can get a Sam Adams beer and be completely fine. It's yeah. not flawed.
And
everything.
It's one that people always still have, you know, one or a few of a year because it's the beer that's still anywhere. You
well,
know?
And what's happened? Yeah, they've obviously gained giant market share, and for whatever reason, even when you're not owned by AB, that comes as some backlash.
Well, Boston Beer, I mean, I don't think that people realize, like, everything that Boston Beer owns. It's not just Sam Adams.
Twisted Tea.
It's Twisted Tea. It's Angry Orchard. Yeah. It's Coney Island. It's...
But they still own
Truly.
It.
It's Truly. Yeah. I mean,
they still own it.
Yeah, they still own it. I mean, Jim Cook, man, he's a smart businessman. And,
yeah.
You know, from what I heard, I've had friends that work for Sam Adams. He's just a straight down-to-earth guy. Super awesome. And I mean, those are the type of pioneers, you know, him and Ken Grossman, they just kind of paved the way for craft beer.
For sure. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about Dark Star Porter and Guinness as well. I've always tried to push people to try Guinness because I think there is just a huge mental block for people who maybe don't know anything about craft beer to say, hey, that doesn't look like beer, that doesn't smell like beer. I know that I don't want that.
Right, and it's because people drink with their eyes or
sure.
you know, first, and they're like, oh, that's dark. That's got to be super heavy. I don't want that. But
there's
got to
be more. You know, Dark Star Porter, I agree, was a huge one for me growing up, but that was because we didn't have much else. So it's really, what other dark beers would you say, Travis, were the first few that you tried?
I mean, definitely Guinness.
Yeah.
Then
I'm trying
you know,
to
that
like,
was
like and I do
that
agree.
Was kind of the style that I got into the slowest. I was more crisp or hop forward kind
sure.
of person. you know, it's a style that I still don't drink a ton of, but when I do, I either really like it or I don't. So
yeah, and for me, it's my favorite. You know, like I think everybody's got their favorite styles, but that is, look at Drew's trying to open this subtle beast into the microphone, so it. Oh, that was nice. That sounded great. It's like Jason's our producer. It's like he added that in there.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school.
Speaking of dark beer, we're getting ready to open ours.
Yeah, so I'm going to go on a dark beer tangent here for a second because I love dark beer. I think that, like, as much as some people are just IPA nuts or sour nuts or whatever, I love a porter, a stout, a brown, and I just think that this one is delicious. So let's transition now and talk about Fall City Pale, because I do think Pale Ale has a lot going for it in terms of being that kind of gateway beer. And I get people all the time that say, oh, you know, I drink Miller Lite only, but love that Fall City. And that's the one that people, when they call Fall City, it's our Pale Ale.
Yeah.
So
actually, the security guard as I walked into the Fish concert, because I was wearing a Fall City shirt, asked me about it because he knows about it, man. It is it's worldwide.
It's kind of our calling card, though, and it is nice. And I do think, you know, that's part of our, you know, we're not this crazy brewery that's doing all of these insane quadruple hop, double barrel, whatever. We make some really, really solid beers, and I'm proud of that one because I think that there's a lot of people who maybe don't venture out very far.
It's a great beer. I mean, if anything, like, it is absolutely our gateway beer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're trying to get somebody to drink a beer with a little bit extra flavor that's not going to be super dark, it's not going to be overly bitter with the hops, it's something that, you know, Joe Schmo walking down the street would love to just sit and have. It's a great food beer. It's just a neutral character, and it just goes down easy.
Yes. Joe Schmo enjoys the beer, and then also Beer Geeks, because it is a very true-to-style beer that kind of has been overlooked a little bit. English style pale ale is delicious.
We actually get a lot of compliments because there are so many people doing IPAs, and they're like, we are one of the only breweries that does like a true like English style pale ale. So it's something that is different that kind of sets us apart.
Yeah. Fun little fact.
Yes, I love fun facts.
I believe we had 10 cases of Fall City English style pale ale at my wedding.
Hmm.
Way before I ever thought of, you know, working at Fall City beer. So it's my wife Sarah's favorite beer.
Yeah,
so.
It's also my mom. Not to compare your wife to my mom, but it's my mom's favorite too. Like she's always like, oh, the one with the British flag on it. So hate to break there, but we're gonna remove that British flag soon. So
yeah, sorry. Yeah. And my dad has always been, you know, he's one of those guys that you run into that has like the old school Fall City story, but I don't think he's ever been more excited for me to ever get a job than when I first started at Fall City. He's like, are you kidding me?
He just wanted you to have a job.
Yeah, he just wanted me to have a job.
They're
going to
pay you money?
Yeah. My dad's probably had 4 billion Miller Lights in his life, and now his favorite beer is Hipster Repellent IPA.
There you go.
And that makes me really happy. Yeah. You know? That might just be because it has the highest alcohol, and I give them some for free. But we don't really, you know, need to discuss that.
My dad has actually moved more towards the Kentucky Common over the.
That was going to be my next thing, because
it's another great gateway beer.
It is like it's a little bit darker in color, but not in taste. You know, and it just kind of has these flavors. And I think really, you know, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times people are like, "Oh, you work in the beer industry, you must know so much," and they ask me questions. And in reality, it's just, you know, I think that you just have to be open to different styles of beer. You have to understand that beer doesn't always have to look the same, and beer doesn't always have to taste the same, and beer doesn't always have to make you feel the same almost. Like, there's a time and a place for every beer. And the more that you can get people to open their mind a little bit, the better off you're going to be, because there's so many beers out there. And the next thing I was going to talk about is Bell's Oberon, because I think the Bell's Oberon, as far as kind of like that wheat style summer beer, is a huge gateway beer for people. I know so many people are like, oh, I like Oberon. And it's like, A, they don't even know who brews it, and B, they don't understand what it is. Like, they think it's a style, they think it's different things. But I'm okay with that, because you can educate. It's a lot easier to educate somebody who's willing to take that leap.
Yeah.
What do you guys, when you think of different styles, what do you think the easiest styles are to jump from if you're a domestic light lager drinker to try to dip your toe in the craft beer pool? What would you say is the easiest thing to kind of start, gateway style maybe?
Man,
All right, think about it for a second.
No, I would say
Drew's jumping in.
I would say an amber or like a, you know, even just the step up to a real true Pilsner or a real true lager, and that's not, you know, maybe from a German style or a Czech style. Yeah, that's a great way to get
and
into it.
And that's a good point. There's certainly a lot of flavor in those Pilsners, and you know, we all call IPA hoppy pills. There's a lot of flavors in those light beers, and maybe that is the easiest because of the similarity in appearance. Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I think if you're taking a domestic beer drinker and you give them a true German style offering, the way that it is, you know, Hofbräu or, you know, any of the like the true styles, like Pilsner or Kell is a great example. If you drink that, you get it fresh, you know, some of like the different draft offerings that they do. But yeah, I mean, I would have to err on the side of, you know, ambers and beers like that, because they don't have a whole lot of offensive flavors one way or the other. They're not super dark. They're not super malty. Yeah. You're not going to get that coffee character. They're not hoppy. It's something that the, you know, Joe Schmo sitting at the end of the bar sucking down Budweiser's and Marlboro Reds.
Joe Schmo really gets around, man.
Joe Schmo is a guy that I like to party with. So.
Is he related to Joe the Plumber?
Yeah. He's actually related to Ted Schmo. Anyway, my next question was going to be when you start to, I think that's absolutely true. I think we're all in agreement that there are certain styles that, okay, you're dipping your toe in, seeing how this is. It's a little bit different. It's a higher, I think the higher price point really scares a lot of people off.
It is. I mean, if you can buy, you know, a 12 pack of Budweiser or Bud Light for $9.99 or $10.49, and you have a 6 pack of craft beer at the same price, I mean, especially with, you know, when we're not necessarily in one now, but we've had, you know, some, you know, economic recesses in the past, you know,
everyone five, likes to save
years.
Money.
Yeah, exactly. And it all comes down to convenience. If you're at, you know, a gas station, or if you're at a grocery store, if you're at a liquor store, it's like, how do you justify like making a special trip somewhere else? And all it has to, depend on selection. But yeah, I mean, the price point is a huge thing, because you can buy domestic beer, and that's something that the craft breweries are never going to be able to compete against, which is something that we don't want to.
No.
It's like we're making...
we're not mass producing.
We're not mass produce. We're not mass producing. We're creating a quality product that we feel that we are priced accordingly with for the quality that we have in our beer.
Yeah. Yeah, our beers are priced in line with typically like Sam Adams, New Belgium, things like that.
And all the local guys.
So
and we're all in this together too. I mean, it's one of the weirdest industries to where
it's competitive, but it's
competitive,
friendly.
But we're all friends.
I was down in Lexington on Wednesday and ran into the Country Boy guys like DH and those guys, and you know, it wasn't like, what are you doing on my turf? Yeah. It was here, and I sampled them on some of our watermelon goza and some stuff like that, and you know, they really like it. They're our buddies. It is kind of odd. I know we've traded hops and grains out with people before, and
it's
yeast,
everybody
whatever.
Against the big guys. And at the end of the day, if someone's going to drink a West 6 IPA,
it's David versus Goliath.
Yeah, if someone's going to drink a West 6 IPA or, you know, good or a Louisville lager from Goodwood, if they're open to that, I've got a better shot at getting you to drink a Fall City than if you've only ever had Bud Light.
Of course, I'd rather them drink a Hipster Ripon IPA over West 6, but I'd rather them drink a West 6 IPA over a Budweiser. At least we're steering that person in the right direction.
And it is. It's a friendly like that. So my next question, and we talked on it a little bit, but I think that you dip your toe in, you get the ambers, you get those light beers. Maybe is the next step to dip your toe into the hop pool with a session. Do you think if you were going to break somebody new into a hoppy beer, do you go with a session IPA, or do you just say
no? Sierra Nevada Pale Ale,
yeah,
first and foremost. I mean, that is the quintessential. You get the West Coast style kind of piney hop bitterness. I think there's a lot of session IPAs out there that just taste like hop water. I think if you're really trying,
I've heard both. Though. I've heard people say like, "Oh, it's such a good way to ease into
it's,
hops."
It's a wider style, but I mean, if you're really trying to kind of grow into, I think you start with something
take
a little bit more. Yeah, you know, take a little bit more in the middle of the road. Like, you're not going super light, you're not going super heavy. That's your Nevada Pale Ale. They've been doing it for so damn long that just go with that beer. That is still like a staple. If I'm ever at a store and can't find something I want, as 100% my fallback, I will take Sierra Nevada Pale Ale over anything.
Plus, like Kroger, it's like $8.99.
There are people too that are just, you know, their palates, they don't like it at all. So it is one of those styles that, you may never get someone to to enjoy it or appreciate.
Well, and I think too, you know, it's something where it is a little bit easier just to kind of shock your palate a little bit. You know, when you're doing the session IPA, like Drew said, it's a little bit of a watered down taste. It's a little bit watered down feeling. And if you just go straight pale ale, you know what you're getting into. And that way, if you do jump up from there to a true American style IPA of some kind, or God forbid, a double IPA or something that's going to blow your mind, yeah, you are a little more prepared for it than if you've had an all day IPA from Founders where it really is light. So the next thing would be, you know, I think color scheme matters a whole lot. We've talked about that a little bit with Guinness and Dark Star Porter, but what is the, you know, what is the easiest transition there? You know, do you know, can you think of, I mean, is it brown ale? Is that really the way to go? Maybe it is.
I mean, we were talking a lot about Newcastle earlier, and
I think it's so light though. You know,
it's so light, but it is
different color.
The color is not golden. It is definitely.
Yeah. I think of Avery's brown. Ellie's Brown, because I just think that beer is.
Well, that's pretty dark.
But in color, though. Yeah, I think it's super easy to drink, and I think it's approachable anyway, because I think it's the same way with hops. It's like you might as well just jump in because people have such a preconceived notion that this is going to be so heavy, and it's not, you know? Like, and it's the same with Guinness, as we said earlier, so.
So now I want a Pilsner Urquell.
Yep.
A Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Soon, man.
An Ellie's Brown.
Yeah.
A Two Hearted. And what
a Fall City Pale Ale.
Fall City Pale Ale. Now that we've been talking about these,
you know,
I'm
what's
very
cool
thirsty.
Though is that I appreciate people who, you know, Liquor Barns of the world, now Kroger does it, and even, you know, some local places like Old Town Liquors who do the mixed six pack. Because I've had people before say, hey, make me a mixed six that will help me expand my horizons a little bit. And you do, like, I feel like all of those always end up in there, because it's just first of all, it's cheap, you know, like it's cheap. You know, you're not going to throw in all these ridiculous beers. The last one I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap things up, is sours. Because I think sour is kind of the newest kind of crazy style. You know, it's been out for a few years. What would you say is a gateway sour, or when you first tried sours, what did you try and how did you react?
I mean, Goza's would be the gateway in my mind.
Sure.
I'm not a huge sour guy.
Yeah.
I appreciate them. A lot of times I want like 10 ounces of one. I don't want a pint. But
really dynamite since we have two Gozas on the market right now, Travis. I appreciate your support.
I'm saying like big sours.
Yeah.
But I do really appreciate the Goza. I love the sea salt. It kind of mellows it down a little bit. And this watermelon Goza we made is just...
It's pretty killer.
Tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... I want 50 ounces of that, not 10.
What do you think, Drew?
I think Gozas have been a little bit, I mean, while they're an old traditional style, they've been newer to the market in the U.S. than other styles. So I think I'd probably attribute Westbrook to really kind of putting the Goza on the market in the United States.
These guys are from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, for those listeners not familiar.
But, I mean, if you want the true traditional, you know, Goza, the Rittergut's Goza is, you know, fantastic. But, you know, I'm with Travis. I don't particularly like to drink a whole lot of sours. I think they're a great palate cleanser, and they're great to kind of intertwine into
kind of a special occasion, like
a whole beer sandwich, or if you're just drinking a ton of IPAs or stouts, that your palate is just going to get beat all to hell. And it's a great kind of refreshing moment to kind of sit back. It's like, okay, this is kind of, you know, lively things. That was kind of, I attribute the same thing to having ginger after, you know, sushi and stuff like that. It's Can you make another ginger joke? Come on, I'll pause for a second.
I didn't make it.
Go ahead.
You made your own ginger joke.
Yeah, come on, lean
you
in.
Too.
What else you got?
Don't make me babysit here, guys.
But no, I think, you know, for me, I don't like to drink a whole lot of sours, but I think they're good in small doses. Rodenbach, I think, is probably my gateway sour. Just Rodenbach Red and the Petrus. Those guys are doing great beers, and I think those are the ones that really kind of set the bar.
Sure.
For a lot of the U.S. brewers to really kind of embrace everything that's been going on in Belgium and Germany. But it's never going to overtake IPAs.
No.
I mean, everyone's saying, like, oh, the sour is the next IPA. No, it's not. It's never going to be.
It's a very unique taste. So.
It is.
And that's what gateway beers are about.
So are IPAs. Like, either you like them or you don't. You like hops or you don't.
Right. But I think sours just are, I don't know, I agree with you. It's just a different ballgame with those.
It is. Like, you know, people that don't realize that, they're going to order a sour beer, and they're like, what the hell is wrong with my beer?
Right.
And they're going to send it back.
Send
like,
it back.
It's like, this shit is bad. Like, no, that's the way it's supposed to taste.
But no, I think that the good news about the way the industry is today is that there are plenty of beers out there, so there's something for everybody. And if you are looking to expand into a new style or expand from domestic beers to craft beers, you know there's stuff out there for you. And I hope that some of the ones we mentioned today, you'll go out there and try.
We're trying to blanket the categories. We're trying to give a little bit of something for everybody.
I can't really think of anything we haven't touched on, so... Usually when I run out of things to talk about, it means it's time to wrap things up. So we appreciate you guys listening. We always that was always and obviously combined. Alwaysly, obviously, encourage you to drink responsibly. Just a reminder on those events.
And podcast responsibly.
Yes. Reminder on those events, the last full week of July, July 27th at the Knock Bar for Neighborhood Series with Danny Smack Goza. The weekend of the 28th and 29th at the Burnt Knob Music Festival at Iroquois Amphitheater, and then Saturday late night, 29th, on the Bell of Louisville for the Craft Beer Booze Cruise. That's all I've got. You guys have anything else you want to say?
Who are you most excited to see at the Burnt Knob Music Festival?
I'm going to say Nelly Pearl, just because those guys swung by the brewery the other day. Super nice people. And but with that said, I'm excited to see all the local bands, James Lindsay, Frederick the Younger, The Pass, The Damn It, there's Powell. There's a lot of really good bands out there. So, as always,
Juliet of Pleasure Boys, too.
Pleasure Boys, yeah, for sure. As always, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Falls City Beer. Log on to www.fallscitybeer.com or shoot us an email. If you guys have any questions, stuff you want us to talk about on the podcast, comments on what we've talked about already, info, at fallscitybeer.com. And with that, we know you have a choice. Thank you for choosing Falls City Beer.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.